The Nick Abbott Habit.
This week, there was a lot of important things happening, but no one was paying any attention because everyone said, never mind. Here's a video of some bloke dancing. And it was that bloke out of the royal family, Prince Wills. You know, Harry's boring brother. The one married to Princess, Pippa's sister. Bloke who's gone prematurely bald because of the stress involved in having other people do everything for him. Pretended to work for an air ambulance. Yeah, that's him. Anyway, the public was agape with wonder at a youngish man dancing in a disco like the world wasn't watching. But it was. It was front page news for days, and then 86 million words were written about it by columnists, and important people in ties went on the television to discuss it at length, and not a single one of them suggested that he might have been off his head at the time. He was grooving like he was on one. I bet his eyes were so dilated you could have used them as dinner plates. It looked a lot more than drink to me, gurning and yelling and pointing at the crowd like he was a stand-in for that mad dancer at the Happy Mondays. I'm not saying the future King of England took ecstasy and went mental. It just looked like he did. Anyway, I very much doubt he'd know where to buy it. But I bet Harry does. And then we learned the very important celebrity artiste Coolio was Furio with his Fanzio, but only in this country, where if it's not actually bolted onto the floor, we'll nick it. And I know this to be true because I used to work in the United Nations of radio stations at Radio Luxembourg, situated in the world's most boring capital city. In the centre of Luxembourg is the Villa Louvigny, and inside that is a radio station for Luxembourg and a radio station for France and a radio station for Germany and television stations to match. And right in the middle is the very famous and long-standing Radio Luxembourg that older folk will remember listening to in the black and white days, when the only entertainment that was available for young people was songs of praise and watching the clock tick. Well, when I were a lad, I got my first job in radio there, and I joined the small British contingent that was known for its pilfering. Seriously, if anything went missing in that place, they didn't call the police, they didn't hold an investigation, they just said that, to speaking from extensive experience, the Germans didn't do it, and the French didn't do it, and the Luxembourgers certainly didn't do it. It was the British what nicked it, and they'd be right. We are the chief pilferers of the world. We'll steal anything. We can't help ourselves. Just look at the top tourist attraction in London. It's the British Museum, but there isn't anything in there that's actually British at all. The world comes to London to visit the stuff that we pinched from them when the map was still pink and Britannia ruled the waves, and we're still doing it. Apparently Coolio, who's a rapper, singer, whatever, crowd-surfed on his last visit to these shores and had so much stolen off his person while he was doing it, he almost got done for nudity in a public place. The crowd took his jewellery, which if you are familiar with the rapping community, you will guess was a substantial amount. Rappers cover themselves with so much shiny stuff that some of them get carried away by ravens. They reflect so much light it's hard to look at them without a welder's mask. And the thieves probably needed a wheelbarrow to cart their haul away. But it's worse than that, because not only did the crowd nick the obvious stuff, they took his shoes as well. They actually ripped the trainers off his feet like they were tramps fighting over the clothes on a dead body. So he said, right, that's it. I'm never going to do that again. Coolio said he'd take off his jewellery and his shoes before he greets his fans when he comes here in the autumn, so as to foil those that want to steal his stuff, which in Britain sounds like a challenge. If Coolio's smart, he'll show up on stage wearing nothing more than his talent, but no one wants to see that. He'll be appearing with Salt and Pepper and Vanilla Ice, by the way, two more excellent reasons not to go. And then there was the very important news that took up the rest of the papers this week about Theresa May appearing in Vogue, all of a sultry pose with a come-hither look, and the entire country did not want to come hither. They were too busy trying to unsee that picture and were running thither, not hither. She looked about as comfortable in that picture that the Daily Mail lifted from the magazine as if she'd put jam on her leather trousers and was sitting on an anthill. You couldn't tell if she was smiling or frowning or was just in pain. It was like her face was fighting with itself. Maybe her mouth is a Remainer, but her cheeks are Brexiteers. Can I just say this, Mrs. M? You can't be taken seriously as a world leader by draping yourself over a chaise and gazing wistfully into the lens. What you need to be taken seriously as a world leader these days is to grab some random women by the p***y and start a Twitter war with Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's what a real world leader does now. You won't get anywhere being sensible and discreet. You've got to fling your crap about your cage like a chimp at the zoo. Speaking of which, we finally got to see Donald Trump's tax return. It was the one that he released himself by popping it into an envelope with his tiny hands and having a minion lick the back of a stamp for him. I am seriously concerned that the leader of the free world is a dope. Right there on the document was a stamp that said client copy. And as Donald Trump was the client, it's bloomin' obvious that he sent it out. I mean, he could have covered that up with Snowpake, but he was probably distracted by Dora the Explorer coming on TV at the time. Snowpake, by the way, to you younger listeners, was the method by which we used to correct our mistakes when we were typing. We'd get to the bottom of a highly important letter and spell our name wrong at the end. So rather than throw the typewriter out the window, we would simply use a liquid to paint over the error and leave a white worm on the page that was invisible only to those born without eyes. We couldn't just edit it on our screens before we printed it. We were printing it as we typed. And we didn't have helpful red wiggly lines to show us where we'd made spelling mistakes on our application forms. We just didn't get the job. You kids don't know you're born. Anyway, Donald Trump licked the envelope shut with his big red tongue. It's very big. I have a huge tongue. Everybody says so. And he sent his own personal Donald Trump copy of Donald Trump's tax return to prove that Donald Trump has nothing to hide. Goodness me, no. Whatever gave you that idea? Trouble was, it was from 2005, which in financial terms is ancient history. He might as well have released a picture of him not touching a woman in her personal area to prove that he never squeezed a stranger's wahoo-hoo. And the conspiracy theory about all that is that while Trump claimed that it was an outrage that someone had released his tax return, he released his tax return from 2005 because that was the year he married his Latvian mail-order bride. And there's some American rule that says the man and woman have to have a squeaky clean joint tax return for the year they marry if one is a foreign-born national. And it was that year's joint tax return that we saw, the only year in which everything had to be above board, legal, decent, honest and true. I mean, it's so obvious a ruse that only a giant orange puffball of vanity would think that we'd be fooled by it. Unless it isn't true, in which case it's probably the Mexicans that released it, or it's Hillary Clinton's fault. Or maybe his toaster is in cahoots with his microwave oven and they're plotting against him. That was hilarious. When his spokespeople went on TV to try and explain Trump's latest demented tweets and said they suspected Obakarama of putting a camera in his microwave and the British Secret Service were behind it. It's a good job these wingnuts aren't in a position of power. Oh, wait, that's right, he's the leader of the free world. You know, the unfree world is starting to look quite inviting. And into this mess, we sent our chief diplomat to smooth things over. Unfortunately, our chief diplomat is Boris Johnson. What could possibly go wrong? That's like throwing a bucket of petrol over the flames to try to put out the fire. Bozo of the FO let the press know that, to avoid an international incident, he wouldn't mention the claim that the British were spying on the Donald because, you know, that's insane. But do you remember the first time that Boris Johnson talked about Trump? He called him completely out of his mind. I think that first impressions count. You should always go with your gut feeling, Boris. And Boris Johnson has a lot of gut. Did you see that McDonald's tweet about him the other week? About Donald, not Boris. On the McDonald's official Twitter account, it posted the message, Donald Trump, you are actually a disgusting excuse for a president, and we would love to have Barack Obama back. Also, you have tiny hands. Love and kisses, McDonald's. And the burger joint freaked out and said it wasn't them. Their account had been hacked, or it was a disgruntled employee or something, and I just find that incredible. Not that a disgruntled employee is upset with Donald Trump, but that McDonald's has a Twitter feed. What on earth for? So I looked it up, and they have getting on for 3.5 million followers. 3.5 million people can't wait to hear what Ronald McDonald is going to say next. I'll save you some time. He's going to say, eat at McDonald's. It's the breakfast of champions. All athletes swear by it, and it'll make you better looking too. But I bet if Ronald McDonald was the president of the United States of America instead of that other clown in makeup, he wouldn't have pulled a cheap stunt like banning laptops and Kindles and all that shiny electronica that people use to make a flight go faster from the passenger compartments of planes coming from some carefully selected Muslim countries. Now people on carriers like Etihad and Qatar and Emirates are going to have to put their amusements and work tools in the hold. Which makes perfect sense. Because if some swivel-eyed terrorist nutcase wanted to plant a bomb in a laptop and it exploded in the hold, the hole that it would blow in the plane would only affect the luggage compartment. that would disengage from the passenger compartment and all the people would continue unscathed to their intended destination. Oh no, that's right, it doesn't matter where the bomb goes off on a plane, the whole thing's going to split into a million bits and rain fire and sachets of complimentary peanuts all over whatever is underneath. What's the point of telling terrorists that bombs are no longer acceptable as carry-on luggage? They're going to have to put them in their suitcase with their pants and socks. And now the British are saying the same thing. No one flying in from Turkey, Jordan, Egypt or Tunisia and Saudi Arabia can watch La La Land on their laptop. They're going to have to put up with whatever Adam Sandler film the airline dishes up. But here's the news. Terrorists are crazy. They're not stupid. If you were in Turkey and you wanted to blow up a plane going into New York and you weren't allowed to take your bomb in your carry-on luggage and you absolutely, totally and definitely wanted to press the switch to blow it up, you'd just cross the border and fly from Georgia instead. Apparently flights from there are fine. You can take whatever you like on board from Georgia. There's chickens and goats running up and down the aisle on flights from Georgia. But they say it's all about security. The British government takes security very seriously. They always say that when it suits them doing something daft or intrusive. But you can be pretty sure that if the security services have found out about some threat from an exploding iPad, that the bearded loons that want to blow stuff up will have moved on to something else. I mean, a while ago it was exploding underpants. That bloke was able to sail through security with TNT in his pantaloonies, and he got through probably because even if there had been a credible threat, no one on security wanted to look there. Hey, is that a stick of dynamite in your posing pouch, or are you just demented to be here? Security experts who examined them after he tried to light the fuse to his Y-fronts said he'd been wearing them for 2 weeks straight, and the explosive had become what they called degraded. In other words, he s***ed his pants. He was a totally s***ed terrorist. And then there was that bloke with the exploding sandals, who just waltzed through security despite the fact that he was about 8 foot tall, had a giant bushel of pubes on his head and looked so mad you could have seen his crazy from space. Richard Reed, the shoe bomber. He actually tried to light the fuse in his boots with a match, and the stewardess told him he couldn't smoke on the plane. He couldn't light it because his feet had been sweating so much he wet the fuse. And everybody else wet themselves laughing. So now we have to take our shoes off and go through a scanner that takes a picture of our genitals and shares them on Facebook, for all I know. And we can't take over 100 mil of liquid on a plane. Not because you can't blow up a plane with such a small amount, but because the authorities want to be seen to be doing something. And now this. And our British government was just following on from what the screaming Mimi in the White House did and banned electronic devices bigger than a phone from the passenger pod, presumably just to further ingratiate ourselves with that demented orange golfing gallant in Washington, in the hope that he won't slam the phone down on us like he did Australia. And there's an interesting theory about that, that it's not about security at all. It's about continuing the message that Muslims are going to get you, which it has, because the press are all over it, and bringing up old stories about past attempts, like I've just done. I know, guilty. But there's more than that. It's getting back at the Far East airlines that have been supported and subsidised by their various state owners. Places like Saudi Arabia and Qatar are absolutely covered in oil money so they can splurge on their own airlines. And the Americans are very upset about that because they don't get a subsidy from the American government. So the thinking is that the Donald wants to punish the Arab airlines and bring more people, especially the rich ones that need to work in business and first, to the US airlines. And then he can go on Twitter and boast about bringing more jobs, tremendous jobs, lot of jobs. Imagine if you were a business person and you bought a business class ticket or a first class ticket because you're worth it, but also because you needed to get some work done on the red eye to JFK. If Etihad or Emirates can't allow you to take your laptop with you, you just have to sit there doing nothing, waiting for your complimentary in-flight personal over-the-clothes massage. Or you could cancel your ticket and fly on United Airlines from the very same place, which doesn't have the same restrictions placed on it by the American government. And by the way, the same goes for terrorists too. If you can't blow up the Qatar Airlines flight at noon, you'll just have to blow up the American Airlines flight at 2:10. Problem solved. Oh, and on the subject of computers, did you know that wireless networks crafted from rays of infrared light could soon allow you to connect to the internet 100 times faster than you can at the minute? Scientists have devised a new method of squirting the internet wirelessly up the device that you can't use on a plane anymore. It's called Li-Fi, a light-based system that beams gigantic amounts of information like an invisible optical fibre. Isn't that interesting? No, of course it isn't. No one's interested in how stuff like that works, as long as it actually works. I mean, will it allow you to watch Top Gear on catch-up without it stopping every 2 seconds? I tried to watch the second episode after the first one didn't suck out loud. It wasn't that bad, but I hadn't series recorded it on my Skybox. So I watched the second on catch-up, streaming it on the net, and it was impossible. It wasn't Top Gear, it was Gear. The buffering was infuriating, so I gave up. But what I did see was fine, but still drowning under the expectation of the name. They should have called it something else, because without Jeremy Clarkson, it's not Top Gear. I mean, the new people are all right, but they're not actually funny. Matt LeBlanc's a likeable actor. He says funny things that funny people have written for him to say, but he isn't funny himself. That's the important part, the writing. And Clarkson had the advantage of being both the writer and the star saying the words he'd written for himself. And now we don't get to see him without giving Amazon a fortune because of a dinner-related incident of rage. Speaking of which, I almost had a meltdown this week. This usually never happens, but I was reduced to shouting at inanimate objects. I went nuts. Maybe someone should check my underwear for a nitroglycerin skid mark. It was after a day twisting myself into unusual shapes, trying to paint my staircase, and breaking myself in the process, adopting all sorts of positions I don't ordinarily ask my body to put itself in, and using muscles I didn't know I had. And after that, all I wanted to do was have a hot bath and listen to 461 Ocean Boulevard by Eric Clapton. I thought, I pay my taxes, why can't I have that? And could I do it? No, I could not. First, I ran the bath, which was a big mistake, huge, because the computer had taken about an hour to switch itself off the previous night because Windows was updating. So when I switched it on to play some music from one of my three excellent music programs, it took what felt like 3 weeks to boot up. Windows is updating. Do not switch off your computer, it said. It should have said, Windows is updating. Do not smash your computer into 1,000 pieces with a claw hammer. You see, that's the problem with storing music on your computer. If your computer's having a fainting fit, you get nothing. And then it started to toy with me. My bath is run, the bubbles are dissipating, and it said, Windows update, 50% complete. And after what seemed like an eternity, it jumped to 65% complete, and then 80% complete, and then finally, Windows update, 99% complete. 99% complete. 99% complete, and while land masses were moving on the Earth's crust and whole species were going extinct and new ones emerging, and the moon went around the Earth, it was still 99%. And I thought, do I have time to go out and buy a gun to shoot this thing with before my bath gets cold? And finally, after what was, in fact, a full 20 minutes, the computer sprang into life. And then resolutely refused to play music on iTunes or Groove Music or Amazon Music or any of the myriad ways I should be able to hear my own bloomin' CD collection, because something in the Windows update had upset its internals and my computer had a headache and didn't want to hear any loud noises, and I explained to it in forceful terms that 461 Ocean Boulevard by Eric Clapton isn't really a loud album, but would it play it? No, it would not. So I head downstairs to my portable CD player and I got my actual, real-life, physical copy of the album and I slammed it in the machine, which didn't like that because apparently modern technology and violence are not good bedfellows. And it skipped across the album like Julie Andrews through an Austrian field. The hills might be alive with the sound of music, but that's not much good to me. So I did not hear that album and I washed in silence. So thanks a lot, Bill Gates. You ruined my bath, you bastard. Back in 2 weeks. In the meantime, please avail yourself of the opportunity to buy my books on Kindle and the Amazon website. And I'll be back on Friday and Saturday at 10 p.m. on LBC. And in the meantime, I appreciate your attention.
A Big Things Media production. Big Things!